Are we ready to go to the next step past DNA? If your DNA controls your body, is it possible that there is a similar encoding in yourself that encodes or predetermines? How would you feel if you knew that your eternal life was already, the story of your eternal life was already written? See, the story of your body, as long as you live as a loner being, is already written in the genes. So the story is already there. What if your eternal life was already written? And is it possible then that your abiding self encodes then the story of your eternal life? Would you be interested in decoding that and knowing what that do you, or do you really, really, really want to know what your eternal life is likely to be?
That's a yes for me.
Well, I'm suggesting, kind of like what Schrodinger did, I'm suggesting that your eternal life is encoded in your dreams. If you'd understand your dreams, you'd begin to understand your eternal life. And you would begin to understand the eternal life you are living today. It would all make sense. The story of your eternal life, then, like your dreams, is already written. Is that okay? Well, and I'm calling, like DNA, I'm calling that encoding in your eternal, your abiding self. I'm calling that as ASM, abiding self memory, because it's encoded in memory of yourself, of your abiding self. The whole story is encoded in memory of your abiding self. And as I've said before, your dreams reveal your eternal self. If your dreams really reveal your eternal self, then that is the nature and story of yourself that you have already written. In the same way as DNA is the story of your body, and it's already written. Your parents had it written. It was given to them, and they passed it on to you. So the story of your body was already written in your DNA. And it was written in a sense that, even further, that the self you are living in that body today is emergent from that DNA code. Is it possible that your eternal self is emergent from the, or your abiding self, or eternal abiding self is emergent from the abiding self that you are creating, just as the physical body was created and yourself was emergent? The eternal body that you are creating in your abiding self then becomes the body of your eternal self. And from that emergent is an eternal self. Are you interested in knowing more about that? The only way you can know that is to begin understanding your dreams. We're at a point, I think, in all these other discussions that there's nowhere to go except to talk about death. And if that's what you want to go to, I've got a bunch of pages written on my desk. But I wanted to go somewhere else. I want to change Monday night to an abiding dream self.
Yes.
But if we do that, we have to set down some conditions. I've done dreams for years, and we always have to set down conditions and no-nos and things to do, which then are important that they don't get violated for a lot of reasons. And number two is, I don't want a bunch of listeners. I want participators. Because only by participating in understanding the dreams, only that way will you learn the language of your ASM code, your abiding self memory code. In passage 7 of Self, we said, but then you wanted to be universal again, hoping to take all of your knowings and desirable experiencing with you as memories. It seems that you believed as above, so below. But this is a myth. What does as above, so below mean to you? Participants? Look, if we're going to get into a dream class, I'm not going to interpret all the dreams, and I don't want to go through this. Nobody wants to participate. I want to listen. You either participate or we're going to call it all off. That's a threat. So you can take it as a threat. If a dream brings a dream to be interpreted, everybody has to be responsible for looking at that dream and what that dream might be saying. Everybody has to participate. Now, do you still want to do a dream group?
Yes.
And I'm a yes.
Yeah, sure.
Anybody that says yes has got to be willing to participate. Anybody who doesn't say yes, doesn't want to do it, don't call in. I don't want a bunch of just listeners. I want participators. Because that's the only way you're going to learn your ASM code. But right now, then, I'm asking, what does so as above, so below mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think there is an equivalence between the daily routine and action and living of in the physical world and the eternal abiding world. There is an equivalent between the two of them. We'll see the pattern. Maybe the details are different, but the pattern will show up in both sides.
Well, let me say something, ask you a question. How does that relate to masters? How does that relate?
Masters.
Don't you feel?
Whatever I have said about masters, what masters will actually be is how I'm living my life right now. Then masters will be living an equivalent of that.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That may be true, and it is true as far as I'm concerned, but I don't believe you that that's where your masters comes from. You believe that...
Well, that's, right now, that's exactly what I think it is. I think when we first started talking about this, and for years I held masters with some kind of idealized place to get to, but
that's
I no longer
as above, that from here you can get to that place.
Yep.
And you can get, you can become that idealized person.
That was the pattern I held for the longest time.
And to bring the ideal of that into your life today. But
I would rather just go to the above.
What? Yeah. But I said in passage 7 of Self, if you guys have read it, this is a myth. The correct saying is, as below, so above. In fact, in Matthew 16:19 of the Bible, it is recorded that Jesus said to Peter, you are the rock, and on the rock I will build my church, and the gates of death shall never close upon it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What you forbid on earth shall be forbidden in heaven, and what you allow on earth shall be allowed in heaven. That certainly means as below, so above. So heaven is not a greater, nicer place. It is the same as the life you're living today. So masters is limited by or exactly the self and life you're living today. Masters is not a higher, different, greater person. But so then in the same way in your dreams, like I've said, your dreams are your eternal self, as well as the dreams reveal the self and life you are living, regardless of what you think you are living. So the dreams reveal your present life today, and your present life today reveals your eternal self and life. That's the purpose of the dreams, to find out what it is, what is the eternal self and life that you're creating today in everything that you do. Your eternal self then is not all Mr. and Mrs. Goody Two Shoes. You cannot say that that's good and this is bad. I mean, you can say that, but that isn't truth at all. For heaven is revealed to be here and now, as it is. Heaven is not something that is good or absent judgment or all the good aspects of life. Heaven is exactly as you creating it and living it today. This is why I've said we've never really talked about this to this extent. Why everything I've been saying, we've never been on the same piece of understanding. You've always been talking about what your life about is today, and I'm always thinking only in terms of your living your eternal self. When I say do only those things that you'd be willing to be and live eternally, that's from 20 years ago now. That was the starting point. So you should be living your eternal life today, right now, not living a life that will be rewarded with everlasting life, but that you are living your everlasting life right now. And in what way are you living your everlasting life right now? What is it like? What does it mean? And so what you're doing today in your dreams, you are writing the story of your eternal self and life, whether you like that or not. It doesn't mean you are writing it because you're going to be judged, and how you judge determines whether you are then given eternal life. It is that you are living that self and life today. But you don't see that. You don't seem to see that. You see only yourself today as below or as bad or not good enough, not right enough, not judge. For instance, if you say your life today is judgmental or someone else's life is judgmental, then so is eternal life. Eternal life is not absent judgment. It is not absent evil. It is not absent bad. If I say to you, for instance, if something happens, that is right, does that imply there is a wrong?
No.
I said if it happens, it is right. It is right because I set the context. If something happens, it is right. I have not set a right, wrong in as to how it happens or anything, but if it happens at all, it is right. And that doesn't set a wrong or an evil, because we haven't said that a wrong or an evil happens. And if it did happen, we would say, then that is right as well.
Actually, we said that for a long time ago already.
That's right.
Things occur and happens. But when I said a judgment on it,
you're placing a judgment.
I remember we said how I feel about this, a judgment.
That's right, but that's a different thing. How you feel about it is an entirely different aspect. And this is what you can talk to the dreamer about. Well, how did you feel about that situation? That's very important. And you can then talk.
How is it different?
How it's what?
How is it different?
I don't know what you mean by how is it different.
You said before this is something different.
That's right. Because how you feel about it is not talking about the event itself. It's your response.
No, it's talking about me.
But what I was saying is the event is right. Even if you think if you feel that it's wrong, it's right.
Right.
Just because it happened, and that's the basis of it. You got to listen to the context. If the dream is setting a context that this or that happened in the dream, then this or that is right. It is not wrong. How you feel about it is something else again. Like in your dream, Patrick, the other day, you said that a malevolent being occurred or came about. I know by the fact that you described that as a malevolent being that how you felt. But that doesn't mean that the being was wrong or was malevolent itself. It only expresses then that that's the way you felt. That says nothing about the being itself. So we have to be very careful when you're doing dreams. It's very important that you discuss the dream, not the person. That you talk about the dream, not judging the person. That's why one of the rules of doing dreams is you do not take on the classic example of saying all dreams are an aspect of yourself. That's not true. You shouldn't even go there. You shouldn't even consider that a dream is talking about the aspects of yourself. It may, but you can't make that assumption. If you go there, then when you ask, you'll ask unfair questions of the dreamer, and the dreamer will fudge his answers. You have to deal with the dream as to, like in Patrick's dream, what is this malevolent being as it's presented in the dream? Not as he thinks it might be. And then you don't judge that there's a malevolent aspect of the dreamer in that regard. The world around you is not you. You got to get that old 1970s, 60s and 70s crap shit out of your head and out of your tongue. Can you not live in the world around you without the world around you being you? Must everything be you? Well, when we get into dreams, that's a problem. And you're not allowed to judge or say something about the dreamer that you cannot point to in the dream that says this is what this judgment is in the dream. You cannot make those kinds of statements about the dreamer unless you can point to where it specifically or directly or indirectly infers that in the dream. We used to do a dream class in Waimea all the time, and I can give you dream class examples ad infinitum. The gal told a dream And my first question was, when was the last time you thought of suicide? And the whole class came unglued, including Connie. She used to be going to the dream class. And she berated me all the way back to Fairbank, I mean, back to Kona. Till I finally showed her what I considered to be that the dream indicated she had considered suicide. And the next week at the dream class, everybody was upset at me still for asking that question. Finally, the dreamer said, I haven't thought of suicide in 2 weeks, which then solved the problem because she had been thinking of it just a week before. So, when was the last time you thought of suicide was not an accusation and was not a judgment. It was, the dream showed that to be so. And the startling of asking the question that way was to get a truthful answer out of her. And it was important to get a truthful answer out of her. So you can do that. You can ask startling questions sometimes. But you got to show where that question is not just an abuse of the dreamer or not just abuse of your own judgments, but is part or shown or expressed somehow or other in the dream. Or you're not entitled to ask the question. I have a whole bunch of more conditions that have to be followed, but we'll mention them as we go along. If we're going to do this, you gotta contain yourself or direct yourself right to the dream, not to your judgment of the dreamer. And if how you live your life today, you are writing your eternal story, then there is no particular language, ASM language. It's different for every person, which is why each person must participate in helping to uncode or decode
the vocabulary
for everybody, so that they can learn to understand how they can decode their own dreams. We need participators. And we know that as in dreams, the language of dreams is images. It's not a general word. You very seldom know what somebody says, but you're not really hearing them say certain things. And so written and vocal language doesn't occur so much in dreams. It's images, and that'll help you understand in listening to other people as well and what they're saying. But that means you have to get used to doing it. And in some cases, or in many cases, your image of the dream or the dreamer of what it's saying may not be valid or consistent. So you need to do it over and over and over again until you gain an understanding of converting images into language and language into images. That's what dreams are all about. Passage 4 of Self asks, is it possible for you to consider that your self and life is about creating and living as an eternal abiding self? So, my question is it possible for you to consider that? That your self and life today is only about creating and living as an eternal abiding self. And then I have to ask, is it possible that that's your role in life? For as you do that, the universe is reacting in reacting, lives the abiding self as well. The universe then isn't living your personal self. Are you willing to live your abiding self in everything you do? If the answer is no, then don't even consider being part of the dream group. And if you say yes, then that's the purpose of what the dream is all about. What is it saying that you are? How are you creating your abiding self, and what abiding self is it that you are living? Well, I heard three yeses.
So, how many yeses?
Yes, I heard three. You and Simone and somebody else.
Angela.
Yeah, from Thailand.
Okay, that's three. Is anybody else? I don't think we have a big gang here tonight.
Yes.
That sounds like four. Okay, well, this does me a lot of good in that, number one, I'm freed up to write what I want to write. I don't have to prepare a presentation for every Monday night. But that means you're going to have to bring your dreams to the... And the rule number one that we always have is we will not review a dream that isn't written down. And
that would be a question. Can the dream sense be around before Monday?
Can what?
Can we sense the dream?
You don't have to send it to me, but if you're telling me a dream, I want you to write it down and then read what you wrote.
That's so you can't change it.
That's because you...
And we hold you to it.
We go along, you change it. Yep. And I don't want that.
But is it possible when the time is given that we send it to each other before?
If you want to. I don't see anything wrong with that.
You can, yeah, sure.
For me, it would be helpful.
Well, yeah, but if we don't send them ahead of time, and then we don't have any dream in that regard to deal with. If you don't do this, that's another responsibility you put on yourself, which is just fine. So there you are. You must participate. Bring dreams to the group. And you're going to get defensive. But that's why it's important that we're talking about the dream, not the person. We're trying to decode the dream. We're trying to decode the ASM information. We're trying to get that information out of it. How does that express in your dreams? How does that express your eternal self? And it's
so the overall context will be ASM?
Yes.
For most of the dreams, yes.
Yes. And this is why it's important, because the more you do that, the more then you'll be able to be living your abiding self in your life today. And you'll clearly understand that. That's the purpose of this. The purpose of most dream books is to understand your life today. And that's not ever what I've been talking about. I've said a dozen times, I don't really care about your life today. What I care about is your eternal self in life. And this is an example of that. I'm interested in your dreams, not what you do during the day. And this is where the basis from this from 20 years ago, do only those things which you would gladly be and live eternally. Your life then in that way becomes a an eternal abiding being way of life. And all we want to do is to be more conversant with that. In your being able to understand you and understand yourself and understand others in the same way. What does the AA saying, turn yourself and life over to God, what does that mean to you? Anybody?
Giving up the authority of self.
All right. What if I said, turn yourself and life over to your abiding self? What does that say? Take back and live your abiding self, your own authority.
Right, take your own authority.
So this is what we're talking. This is what we're talking about. Can you turn yourself and life over to your abiding self and live, do and live only those things that you'd be willing to do and live eternally? What I said before was, do you have to question every situation or every action or thought or idea or word that you're going to do? This is where beliefs, thoughts, attitudes, emotions, words, and actions comes from. Comes from, those are the only things you can do. I even originally did not include emotions because emotions were responses, reactive responses, and were not actually doings in the beginning sense. You don't do your emotions, you react emotions. But I added it because everybody wanted it in back in.
But perhaps for this, we should leave it out.
No, we can leave emotions in. I've been using it now so long that it's...
Just rolls off your tongue that way, huh?
But you can create an attitude and live that attitude, but you can't create an emotion and live that emotion. The only emotion that you probably can create is anger. You can't create an emotion of happiness or of joy, pleasure. You can create an attitude of that, but you can't create the emotion per se.
Contentment, is that an emotion or not?
Well, that's why I said don't discontent yourself.
Right, but I'm saying that a lot of times you can create contentment.
No, I don't think you can. You're creating, in that case, making a mistake. You can create an attitude of being content.
I guess that's but you're really, what you're doing.
You're more really what you're doing is creating an attitude of not being discontent.
Yeah.
Because creating an attitude of being content, then you'll set up all sorts of conditions as to what is necessary for you to be content. And that screws up everything. Do you understand there's a big difference between my saying trust God and trust your abiding self? Yet, in the long run, they're supposedly functioning. It isn't a matter of becoming one with God, it's a matter of becoming one with your abiding self. Do you sense the difference? And the importance of that?
But ultimately, aren't they the same thing?
No, because God is outside of you and, in effect, takes over and rules you.
Oh, well, I don't look at God that way, so...
Yeah, well, that's what really happens. And I'm just saying that why we're doing all of this to abiding self is greater than all of the teachings that you've ever heard of, religious or philosophical. You'll gain more out of this than anything I can say. For you to do, though, you still want to do this?
Yes.
That's one.
Two.
That's yes.
Three.
Yes.
Okay.
Andrew is not on.
He would be five.
What?
Andrew, yes, I think so. Andrew will be the fifth.
Not necessarily so, because Andrew got to a point, and this is likely to happen, got to a point where he resisted our old dream class group. And if we get into a point of resisting everything, then it's a waste of time, and we'll call it all off. And that's a promise. That's not a threat. That's a promise. Okay, and if we don't get any participation, if we don't have any dreams to work with, if you expect me to just teach a dream class, you're wrong. It ain't going to happen. Now, all of this is based on making connections. You have to see a pattern in the dream and make connections to a pattern in life. That this, what this pattern in the dream reveals. So learning to make connections like that is important. That's the whole vital purpose of this concept. And if you're not willing to making connections is different than making judgments. If you're going to end up making judgments, we're going to just go from judgment to judgment. We're going to quit. We're not going to do that. That's not the purpose of this. And you may think that I'm stressing this, or saying all this thing about judgments and et cetera too much, but I've done enough dream classes in the last 50 years to know that that's often where they deteriorate to. Okay. And if you have any questions about self or selfness, any more questions other than the ones that Patrick brought up, we need to discuss those and get them out of the way. So you can either send them to me or write them down and then read them next week and we'll discuss them. But also next week then we will start in, it will essentially be a dream class, an abiding self or an eternal self dream class, so that we can begin to understand, or you can see what the eternal self is that you are creating in your life today. The story is already written in the same way as DNA encodes your body. The body of yourself and life has already been written, was written before you were born. Now you are writing your eternal, you were born so that you could write your eternal self. Well, let's find out what eternal self you are writing. And if you insist that your eternal self must be all good and stuff like that, then be assured that we've come to an end right there. Your eternal self is not all good, all wise, all loving and compassionate. Maybe you might want to get there. Then you have to be that in your life today. But itself, your eternal self, is not that. And you're not going to die to all wisdom and all of that sort of stuff. You are going to die to the life you are living today. And if that doesn't please you, then don't get into arguments over the dreams, because that's not what's happening. You don't understand some of the things I'm talking about because you haven't. I had one lady in a dream class who was lived down the street from here, who ended up getting a divorce. And I told her her dreams had been telling her that for months and months, and she's denied that. So she came up with her dream book. By the way, you should keep your dream book, because like I've said before, each dream is only a certain segment or look or saga, incident in a long saga. And if you want to understand your eternal self, then you need the dream book to see the consistency of dreams. Anyway, she got divorced, and I told her, and she lost her children, that her dreams had been saying that for months. So she came up with her dream book and said, "Show me." And sure enough, this is the middle of summer. And from April on, her dreams, one after the other, even those that I hadn't even interpreted, had said that this moment was going to occur, and her husband was going to say, "I want a divorce." And so she finally understood that, but we didn't take that to what that might mean as an abiding self, as an eternal self. That's what we have to do here, without judgment. Not because eternal self has no judgments, but we don't need to judge the dreamer for what he or she is doing. Because there is no right and wrong in that regard. Okay, well, if we're going to do that, we're going to do that. Does anybody have a dream now, today, that you might want to start talk about?
I have one.
Okay.
It's pretty short.
Yeah, you always have to ask that question, how long is it? Because some people say, "I have one," and it goes on for 5 or 6 pages. It's just too much information. And the first thing...
About 5 or 6 lines.
The first thing you have to do is, when was this dream? Because we have to be able, relating the dream to his life today.
Last Monday.
After the dream, after the rain out, or before the rain out?
So I woke up Sunday night, so Monday morning with this dream.
Okay.
Before the rain out.
All right.
Okay, so I was sitting in the den of my parents' house, and I felt like me today, but looking around, like my parents were younger, and I think it was like it was the morning and we were getting ready to go to work or school, and I think I was wearing my old school uniform, and yes, that was a Catholic school. Do you want me to stop? Or just finish the dream?
Well, you said it was only about 5 or 6 lines, so you had to finish it.
Yeah. So I don't remember. So my mom walked by and went into the bathroom near the den. I got up and I went to the bathroom at the far end of the house. And I noticed that there was, looked like some, they were renovating that bathroom. And there was a hole in the wall, in the plaster, and I could look through it, and I could see, I don't know how you describe this, but the space between, like, where the plaster is that you see, like, at the wall, but the space between that and, I guess, the inner wall or something, I could just see, like, all inside the walls of the house, like the, I guess you call them the struts, and then the flats where they put plaster, and I don't know how you describe it, but I could just see all inside of the inside of the house beyond the walls that I normally see. End of dream.
Okay. Now, the dream process is my process. If you don't like it, that's too bad. And so don't be intermixing this process with anybody else's ideas and concepts of dream analysis, because I've read a lot of them, and I've listened to a lot of people talk about their own dreams. Carolyn, I went to Carolyn Mace's talk one time, and she talked about dreams, and that was the biggest piece of crap I've ever heard. I have respect for what Carolyn Mace does, but not what she knows about dreams. Dreams are straightforward. The concept and ideas in dreams are straightforward. They are not secret symbols at all. And in a dream, what we deal with, this is my talk in terms that the first line or the first image that is portrayed is the incipit, I-N-C-I-P-I-T. That comes from the fact that instead of giving you a title or telling you what it's going to talk about, it portrays, like if, for instance, I say, does anybody know what 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. Do you understand what that is? It's like using a piece of, you would say it's the Gettysburg Address. So you're using a piece of what it's talking about to identify it in that regard. In the same way, then, the first line or symbol of a dream is an incipit that says what it's going to talk about. And then the rest of the dream talks about that. So whatever the first symbol or picture or sentence is that we establish as the incipit, that's the context of the dream. Don't leave the context. If you do, you'll never understand what the dream is talking about. What?
So?
What was the incipit there, Andrew?
I was sitting in the den of my parents' house. It looked like they were many years younger, and they were getting ready to go to work. I was getting ready to go to school.
Okay.
So what's the incipit?
What would you consider might be, what is this dream talk going to talk about, do you know?
The parents' house?
No.
Well, the image I had is that Andrew was going home to show himself where he came from.
What do you mean,
going
home?
It doesn't show that.
Where did going home come from? Oh, I see.
Well, he went to his home. That's where he came from. That's where he was raised.
I see.
Somebody's got a loop going.
Who's got a what?
Got a loop going.
We do? I don't hear it.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, Roger.
What?
I'm going to say that I think the dream is talking about my getting ready to go to work or to school or both. In particular, I guess for me, it's like going to school, going to learn.
Well, like relative to what we said we were talking about, what does that mean?
I'm sorry.
We said this is talking about your eternal abiding self.
Right. Okay. That's what I'll make sure. So, well, I think then it's talking about me at the start of getting ready to go learn about my eternal self. Maybe more refined how to.
I'm not so interested in your going to school. I'm more interested in the den of your parents.
Oh, okay, right. The environment is definitely the environment I grew up in. That's my parents, that's Catholicism, that's traditional Southern life. Relative to my eternal self, is it saying that the environment of my eternal self is the Catholic environment I grew up in?
No, they're not saying that. It's saying, what is it saying it's going to talk about? We haven't gotten around to it.
Oh, right. The incipit is going to talk about. Sorry, I forgot that.
It's going to talk about what?
I forgot that the incipit was going to talk about.
That's right.
So what is it going to talk about?
Are your parents your parents? Because you're talking about...
Huh? No, loner bodies, loner parents. My body's parents, they're not my parents. They're not my eternal self's parents.
That's another thing we really need to talk about right now. What does loner body, self, and life mean to anybody? Don't give me my definition of it or things I've said about it. What is it relative to you? What does it mean to you?
It means the physical body and environment that I have that I've been living, that I'm alive in.
No. I mean, that's yes, but there's a hell of a sight more than that. What does it mean?
It means the self and life I've been living is not mine. It's a starter. It's material to get going in life in.
All right. Is it possible to say then that the self and life you're living is not you, but the abiding self and life is you?
Yes.
Just a thought.
I'm ready.
What if we, in doing dreams this time, had everybody write them in third person?
In what?
Third person. Andrew went to his parents' house.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
So that you keep it focused on, you know, because he's talking about the loner body.
Well, we could do that. But I think it's going to be confusing for most people.
See, I thought it would clarify. I don't know.
What does the word den mean to you or anybody out there?
It's kind of a cozy, enclosed and protected safe place.
Relative to animals, what do you think a den means?
Place where you raise your young.
Pretty good.
It's like how you live just it's how you really live. It's not like you're putting on, you're not your welcoming guests, you're not, you know, wearing your best clothes or putting on your best face. It's how you're really living. You hang out in the den.
That's where I used to talk to my girlfriend for hours on the phone until my parents got pissed off.
Where is that in the dream?
No, I was just talking about me in the den. Okay. Anybody else want to deal with the word den?
I thought we had to find out what Andrew thought den was about, because it's his dream.
Yeah, but Andrew's going to think only in terms of the den at his house. That may be.
Wow, we are getting a lot of feedback, Luke.
I'm just thinking that the nature of the word den may have a, with parents and Andrew in the den, may have a greater meaning than just the house.
Well, hang on just a second. I got my handy dandy dream book. Show me that.
What?
I can look it up in my handy dream book.
What?
Den.
No, we don't want to do that.
Oh, okay.
That's intermixing dream systems, and I don't want to do that. I want to get you to be in the habit of, that's the reason, Patrick, I want to get you in the habit of deciding what den might mean. What, when you hear the word den, what image does that mean to you? What does that bring up for you?
Some guy in a smoking jacket with a martini and a pipe sitting in this comfortable room.
Well, that's okay. What, that's why I changed it to a den of animals. What does a den of animals mean to you? Now what does it appear?
A nest.
Yes. A nest. In which parents teach children. Keep and teach children, I guess you could say. Or as animals.
Raise and nurture, too.
Yeah, raise and nurture.
Yes, raise and nurture. Give security. Does any fit for you, Andrew?
Well, if I follow what Roger said earlier, my fit, not so important, but does it make sense? Yeah, it makes sense.
Is it possible that your relationships with your parents, this is not just the first time?
Not just the first time. I think I could say, yeah, I guess, yeah, it's not the first time. I think not.
What do you mean by that?
And I can say from a loner body.
This isn't the first time he's had those parents.
Sir?
She asked me, what did I mean by that? And I said, this is not just the first time you've had those parents.
If this is our first life.
Yeah, and when you say that, I'm wondering if you're
talking
about... Relative
to abiding, that confuses me.
What?
If this is our first life relative to abiding, then that question confuses me.
Does that confuse everybody else?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Why does it confuse you?
Because you're talking about reincarnation on the one hand.
I'm not necessarily talking about reincarnation at all. Don't make that assumption.
Okay, what are you talking about?
Maybe it's not the first time that he has learned or from that association.
Okay.
Can we go on with that a little bit? Is it all right for me to say this is your first life, but that he may, in other words, can we get on to discussing life as being something other than just coming alive? Is it possible that he's had relationships with these individuals, as say abiding relationships or relationships in other ways of coming alive? Self relationship,
yeah.
Self to self relationship.
I can understand, yes.
Yes.
So you can still have it be your first life, first come alive life, but still have a self to self relationship with other people, have had. Does that make sense?
That does, but I
does
where
it?
In the dream would point you to asking that question?
I was only in saying, is it possible that I asked the question? Is it possible?
But how did you infer it?
In a den. And I was just, if a den in effect, if we get it out of just the den of the house that he's in, but in a den of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get the focus off just the den per se in Alabama and onto the den of relationships.
I see what you're attempting to do, and yeah, that definitely opens up a lot of more connections, I think. I would tend to get really squinched down on my particular den in that particular place.
I'm trying to open that up.
I got you.
Is it possible that you've had relationships with these people before?
I see. Yeah, because.
Wherein they, and in that relationship, they were the parents and you were the kid.
Okay.
And
I could sense the relationship there, yeah.
My question to you is, did you go to Catholic school because you wanted to go to Catholic school or because they wanted you to go to Catholic school?
Yeah, definitely they wanted me to go to Catholic school. They made a lot of sacrifices to make sure that happened.
What if, as an abiding self, you wanted to go to Catholic school? What as an eternal self, you wanted to know about God, per se, or understand religion?
Yeah, I would want to know about God. I would want to know about all things of what might have been called spiritual. And I probably, in this case, would have wanted to know about this whole second coming, new world thing.
So,
maybe, Roger, can I even say, maybe I wanted to know a lot about judgments as well.
Okay.
You went to the right place for that.
Well, I see, that's what I'm saying. And I could have probably gotten the Christian mythos a lot of ways, but to be in that environment, that to be living in that Catholic way, there's a...
Do you think that an eternal life depends on Catholicism? Or depends on God? Depends on religion?
I have always thought something like that, yeah.
And I suspect you still do in some way.
Yeah, I didn't finish my sentence really. I was going to say this thing that has been introduced in the last 2 years or so of loner body, and that to be eternal, I have to do eternal. That's still very new to me.
It's new to you, but could you make your eternal self God? Would
yep.
that be all right?
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So
well,
your eternal abiding self then would be God.
Yeah.
I guess I could see that, yeah.
Would that make sense of Catholicism? Becoming one with your eternal self, your abiding self? Consider everything you've ever heard from Catholicism about God and turn that substitution, that's making a connection, and see what, if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The part I'm the connection I'm wondering about is the my image of God in that religion was always very judgmental. And I'm thinking what that has to do with eternal self being very judgmental, I guess.
Well,
is judgmental always a bad thing?
See, to make this statement, I'm stepping aside from the judgment of judgment. I'm just saying, you know, what if my eternal image was somehow, what do I want to say, focused on judgment as a part of it?
But what's wrong with judgments?
It seems to have narrowed my life and limited my insight. And
maybe it's only relative to God that it has done that. If it's relative to your eternal or abiding self, are judgments a problem?
That, you know, Roger, that's a very interesting question, because recently I felt like I have gotten actually understood what my image of God that we talked about way back in 2001 at the I Am Gathering, I figured out what that was all about. And I'm having a different experience of what it's like to look at the world without judgment.
Why?
Because before, happy and good and all that, I thought that was living without judgment. Now I'm starting to sense an entirely different experience where I even recognize, like, the things I deemed good or the things I was happy or excited about are judgments as well.
What if the judgments are yours? Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
Well, then what does that mean? Why are you looking without judgment?
Because I think there's more that I can describe clearly if I'm not judging. That's what I think.
Oh, now wait. Is you're not judging?
I think if I'm not judging, I'm willing to look at what's happening and say, that's what's happening. And I don't have an emotional charge around it that has me avoid it.
Well, wait a minute. If the judgments are yours, then is that a problem?
If I hear what you're asking me, I think the judgments are a problem in that they blind me or they limit my awareness, my thinking.
Why?
Because I get caught up in certain emotions, and emotions are stupefying.
Yeah, but what you keep talking about is only negative judgments.
And you're talking about...
No, I mean, and Misty, I'm trying to say that I've begun recognizing what I consider desirable, happy feelings and perceptions as judgments as well. And I'm just stopping and going, wow, that's been happening for a couple of weeks now.
But then isn't that stopping that a judgment itself? And then aren't you living your own judgments rather than the judgments of God? That's what I'm asking you.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm trying to be aware of judgments as a problem.
Are you trying to be aware of the God's judgments? Or the judgments based on God's determination of good, right, better, best?
I'm trying to be aware of judgments of good and bad in any form. Right and wrong, any duality.
For yourself, can't you? Don't you have the right, and shouldn't you set the judgments for you? This is right for me, and this is not right for me. Aren't you setting that up and saying, making God judgments are not right for me? Aren't you judging the judgments in that regard? Aren't you really living still a judgment?
I'll say probably.
Then isn't that all right for you to live your own judgments, not the judgments that others have imposed on you?
You know, when you say it, yes, I personally have hesitation in getting caught up in...
You don't have to get caught up in it. Can't you just make the... your decision about your own judgment? This is right for you and this is not?
It's when you extend it out to others that it becomes a problem.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, right. Ideally, what I like a lot is to be able to look at the whole, like, dessert tray example you gave before and just say, this I will do. I like that. Without it being something I'm stuck in.
What's wrong with that?
So
there's
you're
nothing
still,
wrong with that.
So that then... the judgments are not a wrong nor a problem. It is that the judgments are not of us, not ours. There's somebody else's.
That's a really interesting question. Can I just ask you one question, though?
Yeah.
Even if I'm making my own judgments. Oh, I see. Misty said I don't extend them out to anybody else. Okay. I think that's my concern, is that I'll...
I think it is, too.
My judgment
about
out.
A judgment relative. This I will do, and this I will not do.
Is all
oh,
yours.
Oh, no. This I will do, this I will not do, no problem at all.
Right. It's
no,
when the judgments extend out to other people that there's a problem.
Yeah. As of what they should or shouldn't do.
Yes, right.
That's right.
Okay. I got you. Well, that's neat. That's a very different look at this.
You have to have judgments in your life.
There's nothing wrong with judgments. It's when we impose them on other people. Then they're not our judgments to start with.
Then, Roger, can I ask you a question? When we talk about, like, the seeing without judgments.
Do what?
If I said my image of God was to be looking and seeing without judgments.
I don't think that's true. I think that's a problem.
Okay, because that's one that I've had, you know, rolling around in my mind for over, you know, 15 years now.
But that's not you. That's the school you went to.
Okay, and I'm asking you because I thought that was something that I got from Forever Living as an important...
No, I said judge, judge, judge. Go judge it all.
What? Say again?
I've discussed judgments. There's nothing wrong with judgments at all.
Always he said that.
No.
It's just are you laying them on to others, or but you should, or and are they your judgments in the first place?
A lot of the judgments you have are ones that were passed down from family and from
owner body. I'm telling you, I can't distinguish me from them sometimes. I get so caught up in them.
That's you and them and a den.
Yeah, I okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know if we're still on track with the dream. This has been very interesting, though.
What?
Actually, we are.
Sure, we're in the dream. Yeah. We haven't left the dream.
Okay.
Now, does everybody else still want to do dreams? Because this is the kind of approach to dreams I want to talk about. So we put everything that we've talked about in the last 20 years into practice.
Oh, I like this. Yeah.
That's what the hell this is all about.
Because that's good, Rog, because I got to tell you, going over this with you again, if we hadn't done this, I would have been still tracking that the ideal of forever living is to live absent judgments.
That's right.
So, yeah, I see the application, because that tells you how I'm using these tools you've given us.
And I want to do that. Now I want to talk about how we're going to use and understand the things that we've talked about. Or we've got no place to go. I've never said don't judge.
In fact, you actually encouraged them to go out and judge.
That's right. This was the problem that Nora had. She not only judged, but then she judged that her judgments were wrong. So... Patrick?
Yeah?
I want you to give me your definition of a judgment of right. What is your judgment of right, of what is right?
Well, it's what is right for me by my own standard.
No, what is right for somebody else, let's say. What is right per se?
Oh, I don't think I have any right to... make that judgment of others.
But you have, and you've defined it. You've said it very clearly to me. I wanted you to repeat it. You've said it on Monday nights.
Yeah, you got a memory that's far better than mine, I'll tell you.
In other words, you don't remember what you said.
I think the only thing that seems to fit is that I can judge what is right for somebody relative to something that they've established or I've established.
You set a definition as being beneficial or something of that nature. You don't remember the word you used.
I remember something like, you know, growing trees, life, nature, good, and I don't know if that's the one you're talking about, but it was several things, like anything that promoted life or something.
Well, let's go on with the dream.
I don't know if that's the one.
Now, when we do a dream, ordinarily, we'll do the dream one line at a time. So you can't go to the end of the dream and bring it forward to interpret a line, earlier line. You have to deal with each line as it comes up based on the information that you have. So, but I let him go on and read the whole dream, but we won't do that in the future. Why would we not do that?
So that we learn that we have all the information we need.
You have all the necessary information you need. And that's the way you're going to live your life. You have all the information you need. You don't have to wait till some conclusion and then take the conclusion and then judge relative to the conclusion.
Yeah.
We haven't said that in terms of this so far. We've talked about just judging. Okay, What's the next line?
Well, I'm sorry, I got a bit tumbled in my involvement here. So what the incipit of the dream we're talking about
is
relationships?
Your relationship with your parents or with parents and Catholicism, going to school.
Okay.
Okay. So you can have a life, you can have a relationship with them without a life with them. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about reincarnation or past lives at all, per se. We're just talking about a relationship, a family relationship. Okay, what was the next part of the dream?
My mom walks by and goes into the bathroom. You know, she goes from the den into the bathroom. I stand up and go to the other end of the house, the other bathroom.
To the other bathroom?
Yeah. One in the back of the house she went to, the one in the front of the house I went to.
Okay. What is a bathroom?
Well, that's where you clean up, got a lot of water, it's cleansing emotions.
Eliminate certain things.
Oh, yeah. Eliminating old emotions, yeah.
Okay. So, do you think that you should eliminate judgments in your life?
Yep. Been trying to lately.
Okay. What if that's detrimental?
Well, anything that would make my what I'm doing easier, I'm all interested in, because it...
Can't you decide this is what I'll do and that's what I will not do? That doesn't have to be a judgment, but it is essentially. Isn't
okay,
it important?
Judgment.
Isn't it importantly important to you, don't you think, is to live an eternal life, that this is what you will do and this you will not do?
Wow, sounds like a line right out of my reading. Yeah, so I think I see what you're saying. There's a difference between judgments for myself, and which is different than
judging others.
Like, yeah, or judgments from
that others shouldn't do.
Or, yeah, an external code.
Okay. So you went to the other bathroom, and what did you do?
Well, I went in and closed the door, and then I noticed that they've been remodeling that bathroom.
All right.
As I go in to this place where I can eliminate old emotions about judgments, relationships.
Well, emotions or and other stuff.
Hey, wait, I got it. Remodeled is being renewed.
Regenerated, renewed, remodeled.
Yeah.
Are we not here, sitting here right now, remodeling your ideas of judgments?
Big time.
Especially that you should eliminate judgments.
Could you say that one more time so I make sure?
Especially that you should eliminate judgments. Are we remodeling that?
Yeah, I feel like you've just made everything much more livable for me.
Well, isn't that important?
It seems like, yeah, because what was happening, Roger, is I would recognize, that's bad judgment, and I'd stop and say, okay, that's a judgment. But I've also been recognizing, I like that judgment, and that's a judgment. So I basically got into a pause. Everything seemed to be a judgment, so I wasn't going forward or backwards or anything. I was just trying to observe.
But do you want to live an eternal life as an observer? Or do you want to decide what you will
do? I want to live an eternal life with clear insights. I don't want to just be an observer.
Well, there you go.
But I do want clear insight.
Well, then that's a judgment, isn't it?
Yes, I want to be able to describe very clearly
what's going on, what you're doing, and
yes,
your life.
Exactly. In any situation, small or large, I want to be able to describe clearly what's going on, even from context to context. I want to be able to describe what's going on.
And what you will do or will not do.
I hadn't even thought about for myself, but that's really important, yeah.
Well then.
Yes.
You see how sure. important it is in this regard, because you would be end up struggling like mad to not judge, and yet you can't do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Judgments are important, even for your eternal self and life. Judgments are important. It's how you apply them that may be a problem, but judgments themselves are vital.
Okay, so if I was going to talk to you about judgments so that you knew what I was talking about, is there a way I might say judgments for myself? Or how would I distinguish you between religious judgments and eternal self judgments?
Well, what I do is I leave judgments in the old term and talk about awareness of self or self-awareness.
Oh, self-evidenting?
Or live self-evidently. This is what I will do, and that's what I will not do. Then you can live your life without questioning everything.
Oh.
What I said to you before about every action, decide whether that's an action that you would be willing to be and do. You decide the action, and then you test it. And you only do that for a short period of time. Then you can relax and know that your decisions, most of the decisions that you're making, are relative to being how you would be willing to be and live eternally. And that's what we're talking about here.
I see.
Would you be, if you make a decision, then would you be willing, is that something you'd be willing to be and do eternally? That's a judgment.
I see.
It's still a judgment, not necessarily a right or wrong, but it's a judgment per se. And you, by doing that, you get into eventually being able to live self-evidently what you've decided you would be willing to be and live eternally. And you don't have to question that.
God damn, you just changed 20 years of my understanding of this stuff.
But that's what that's all about. And if you're only doing the actions you'd be proud of, we're talking about not the consequences or not the results. We're talking about the actions per se, so that you can live self-evidently those actions you are truly proud of.
I gotta say, I think you really just helped me with that. That's a small, subtle thing, but if I was choosing something and saying I'm proud of that, I can easily see how I might start questioning, but that's a judgment because I like it.
But you only make a judgment relative to the consequences, and that's not what we're talking about here.
Okay, right. You mean the action I will do.
And it prevents you from living self-evidently as you are and as you want to live. You have to question everything and challenge everything all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens in this bathroom?
I can see there's a hole in the plaster wall. It's not very big. It's about as big as my face, actually. And I look into it, and I can see all up inside these, like, the vast spaces between the exterior of the wall and the...
So are we discussing your... Are we discussing your then seeing inside of judgments? And the walls, you're seeing through that, the walls that judgments have built around you in this situation? or the walls that not judging have built around you, rather than judgments per se.
Oh, that's interesting. Either case, yeah. Well, because what's interesting, if I may say this, you know, in the dream, all the walls in my house were always painted really, each room had a different color. They were very pretty colors, you know. And looking through that.
But they're still walls.
See something very different. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And in the dream, you're looking through that.
Desirable is what I'm saying.
And in this dream, now we've carried this to those walls being judgments, and I think that's a good context that we've brought it to. But this could be more than just judgments.
What's the structure I've built my life on?
That's right.
Or around me. It's the structure I've erected around me.
That's right.
And now I'm seeing back beyond that, and it's much bigger than I realized.
And you can see past those judgments, or through those judgments, or through those walls of non-judging.
Yeah.
Let me ask you.
That was just a simple little dream about getting ready for school.
You got your little uniform on.
Yep.
Like everybody else.
Yep.
All right.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Does this give you a different image of God? Does this allow you a different image of God?
You know, it didn't occur to me until you said it, but it does allow me a very different image of God, yeah.
Is this a desirable image of God?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
What if what we're saying here is that the Catholic Church misinterpreted what we're talking about?
Okay. I'm very interested to hear, yeah.
What if they misinterpreted all sorts of things all the way down the line?
Okay.
Does this offer you a different image of what Catholicism could actually be?
It does. It offers me this idea that there may be something there worth looking at, but in a different way than I ever have before.
So,
I'm just trying to leave it all behind, you know?
Anybody that's listening in? So, let me ask you a question. Would you rather have an eternal life of judgments, or of not judging, or an eternal life in which you judge for yourself?
Oh, I'd want to
judge for myself.
The third one, yes.
And which allows you to then live self-evidently, not question every move, etc.
Yeah.
Without.
Yeah, I just realized that I narrowed judgment very much down to negative judgment.
That's right. And
so, Roger,
and you're not
to pull some.
You're not judging relative to this you will do and this you will not do. You are judging only to that others are doing this or that.
Right.
Wrong or right.
Mm.
So then the whole concept of judgments then is just down the two.
Yeah. So, Roger, if I'm always judging what I will do,
you can't,
what's for me,
you cannot but judge.
Right.
That's what I
would. If I'm always judging what I will do and what's for me, I'm going to just call this up from 20 years ago, would that be the concept of judging everything in goodness?
Well, can you not say that judging what you will do or will not do is judging everything in goodness?
I'm
This you will do, and that I will not do. So that's goodness.
Yeah, it's selfness.
Well then, there we go. All right, I wanted to summarize this. This is the way in nature in which we will do dreams. We can say all of these things, but we've never in any of that judged Andrew. We're judging or discussing only the dream itself.
Yeah.
And we're starting with the incipit that gave it, which led us to Catholicism, which led us to parent teachings of what's right, what's wrong, what you should do and what you shouldn't do, or what they've been taught is right or wrong. And every dream must get into this involvement, so that we begin to understand what's going on and what's understanding in the dream. And you're beginning to see then that what's really happening in life then is entirely different than what religion or philosophy says is going on. They just manipulate language back and forth.
So, Roger, the incipit was such a, was absolutely key to getting to this understanding, and what I wanted to know is, when I was looking at what that first line, what might be the incipit be, at first I was looking at the action, going to school, and then I started thinking about the self, the belief.
No, the first line was, you know, in the den with your parents.
That's right.
But that was,
but I was trying to
going to school was later after that line.
Oh, I see.
So I'm talking about in the den of what they have, what they taught you.
I gotcha. Okay.
Do you think your parents lived without judgment? They taught you that, or they said that, but did they live that?
No.
Do as I tell you, not as I do.
Right. Do what the church says. Don't question it.
That's right. Well, whatever the dreams are each week, I intend to take them this far, this involved, this personal. If you don't want to get personal, don't show up. And if you show up, then don't involve yourself and don't get involved, don't bring a dream, because this is the way we're going to talk about dreams. If you're not interested in this, talking about these things in this way, don't bring a dream. But I'm suggesting that you do bring a dream, and yet we do talk about things to this degree, because this is putting the forever living stuff into your life and into your eternal self. That's the only place we've got to go. We've talked about so many things, but you put it into your life. So I guess my question is, would you rather live eternally without judgments, or eternally judging what you will do and what you will not do, and how you will be and how you will not be?
I would
second
choice number two. Yeah, I judge choice number two. What I'll do.
Okay. Is it possible?
Why is it so possible to live that way with judgments, and so impossible, so not possible, to live without judgments?
Because judgments are as much a part of eternal life as not as as they are in your personal mortal life. The struggle is not trying to judge is a problem, because That's not a part of eternal life. We've exposed, we have said that that's eternal life without judgment. And yet on the second hand, we say, God judges you lovingly. We're saying, don't judge another, but it's all right to judge yourself, and it's a necessary thing to judge yourself as to what you will or will not do.
I see. I could see how not judging gets you to a point of almost inactivity.
That gets you into a passive state.
Yeah, or just questioning, 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 constantly questioning yourself.
Okay, well, then that's the way we'll move Mondays to, starting next Monday.
Great.
Alrighty.
Thanks, Raj.
But if you bring a dream, we're going to get that personal. But you see, we get that personal without judging Andrew, or we stay entirely upon the dream and what we're talking about. We don't judge Andrew. So.
Alrighty, thank you very much, Roger.
Okay.
Thank you.